Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Being that I live in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's get ready to dive into these confessions with people I know and people that I've never met. Hi guys, welcome to my next episode of the City Confessions. Today I have Nicolette Pace. She is a New York City dietitian, chef, and nutritionist, and also nicknamed as the Mythbuster. So welcome.
Thank you. Really glad to be here.
I'm really excited for you to be here as well because you are the first person, guest that has like a wellness and nutrition background. And I'm very interested in that field.
Well, thank you. That's really nice for you to say. Thank you.
Amazing. So I would like to begin by just having you talk about your background, what you do, who you are, and basically what your relationship is with New York City.
Well, I'm 250 years old. To start, I was born in Greenwich Village.
Amazing. Oh, my God. I love that neighborhood.
Yeah. And I'm a true Manhattanite. My mom lived like McDougal Street.
Yes.
So she was really very formative in showing me all the cultural and ethnic diversity in the city from the Italian community and the Asian community, and exposed me to a tremendous amount of stuff. And being an only child, I just have an affinity for that. She used to say I was a frustrated chemist. Mix. And then in spending a fair amount of time in Europe, I started like blowing out cuisine at four. No joke.
Was it basically, were you inspired by anything?
Or yeah, I'm in love with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, being, you know, by myself, I want to play. You know, you're a little kid, you want to play. And that's what I did. I started with dirt in a coffee can, and the rest is history. Candies, petit foils, I studied French cuisine, I studied everything. And there was one thing when I first tasted the roasting in the Asian venues, the barbecue, and I didn't have the recipe, and I'm only four. I perfected that. I got it down to a science. And it was gorgeous, beautiful, really nice. And it's really privileged to be with so many different people, you know? Really, this is a unique place, very unique.
What was your mom's, I guess, initial reaction to your love for cuisine at such a young age?
I think she just wanted me off her hands.
Yeah.
Quote, unquote. You have five children in one. So just to keep me busy, so to speak. But yeah, we did it. We had a couple of episodes where we were making peanut brittle, and I want to do it. And what happens? Spilled the whole peanut brittle on her arm. Oh, not good.
Oh.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm a little feisty, especially as a little one. So yeah, but she was fine. As long as I was kept busy, et cetera.
Right.
It was fun, though.
What was your favorite dish making growing up?
Not everything. Yeah. Everything. I mean, I started with candy. Mm-hmm. I made a lot of candy. Gumdrops, peanut brittle, divinity, petit foils. Then I just self-taught. I just read book after book. I studied Escoffier. I studied La Rousse. And that was it. And I had a catering company for about 10 years at one point. But that's grueling as a profession. I'd like to, you know, just kind of like enjoy it more for like a... You know, people that are close to me, I'll do anything for them, make a beautiful, beautiful presentation. But that's a tough job, and I admire anybody in a restaurant field, really. The hours, everything. It's tough.
So you mentioned that you were self-taught. Did you not have any training at all?
Yes, I did. I had hands-on training. I was, let's say, in Europe. Mm-hmm. I worked with some chefs in trattorias or home-type cooks, but yeah. Absorbed it and just did it. So, yeah, really, the level of cuisine I make is
top notch.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that you also love the fact that you New York has so many unique cultures and people. Is that your favorite part of the city?
I have to say, yeah, the vibe in New York, and it's not just Manhattan. We have to be inclusive. Every borough that is New York City. is very, very distinct. In fact, one of my thesis that I did at Queens College was about the cultural diversity. And Queens is extremely diverse. Anywhere you go, there everybody. And you just to be open and to speak with people, you can learn, you can grow. It's amazing, amazing.
Right, and that's like the whole reason why I want to start this podcast is because I do believe that New York has so many different interesting people and everybody has a story to tell. So it's great that you mentioned that as well.
Thanks.
So, if you could change one thing about New York, what would it be?
I thought about this. I came up with three.
Okay.
I'll give you the first two, which I don't want to talk about. litter and noise. And then I switched. And this is it. Signage. Signage, signage, signage. Excessive signage. So much so that we are going to have a sign to tell you there's another sign coming your way. And what happens? We're numb. We ignore all of them.
Right.
At any given day, watch. No directionals, right through. Hello?
That's interesting. I mean, I never thought about it that way, but I guess.
Watch. Just be observant.
Because I was born here, so I feel like it's just the norm to me. Like, I don't even really take a second look at them.
Okay, exactly what I was saying.
I know.
I was like, what is this? Please do not talk now, or be quiet, or please stop, or please yield. Is barely a right. glimpse. Maybe that's like a slowdown. So you, mm-hmm. you come down from like 70. Oh, okay. Now you're going to do 40. Is that what a yield is? No. What's a stop sign? The stop sign is the yield. How about this one? Hill blocks view. Hello?
What I don't drive, so I feel you like maybe that's why I'm like,
Okay. So from a pedestrian standpoint, you're walking along, you're trying to do a good thing. And everyone's ignoring you and your rights because you're going to get killed.
No, you're right.
How many stories about walkers getting...
Totally.
Right? But then again, you also have responsibility because if you're, you know, working with your phone or doing multiple things and you walk in front of a truck, mm-hmm. really.
So tell me about Nutrisource. That's how you...
Yeah, that's okay. My company.
Yes. Tell me about that. Tell me how you founded it, what the mission is, and... Give me the background.
A while ago, 2002. Yeah. And, you know, I was encouraged by colleagues to develop a practice, and I did. I have a lot of inpatient clinical experience, and, you know, the bar is already set in certain venues. You can't go further. And the independent practice was a place for me to really do what I wanted to do to help people. And that's how it was kind of created. And with that, multiple credentials and a lot of expertise and a lot of medical conditions, and enjoyed one-on-one, learned a lot about a lot of people. Amazing. And that was it. And really, I had the practice up until, like, I think a year ago or so. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the change in the healthcare system, it kind of killed the practice. Because for me as a nutritionist to absorb the overhead that a surgeon would have, but the reimbursement is nowhere near it.
Right.
Because I don't think the healthcare field really appreciates when you really can affect a change. You know, they can't really see it. And I may be like kind of like in my own area, because generally, you know, it tends to be looked at like, okay, you're going to tell a person to eat a banana or not. It's the tip of the iceberg. Mm-hmm. You got to really get into it. And, you know, the Affordable Care Act kind of like made it impossible. The overhead is insane, insane. You know. So, and the mission then still became a matter of trying to communicate proper information and give people an idea on how important it is to care for your body, your mind, and in a counseling way, because I'm also certified as a counselor. And, really did very well. But the one-on-one, because of the messages that they're exposed to, makes it like rote, here's why we need to do this. So I really feel going in a broader direction will maybe perhaps resonate my message more clearer. So we can kind of skip this. You know what I mean?
So what is your message?
My message is take care of your body. And be happy and know how your body works, listening to your body and really a very easy way to understand some of your body processes. And people have no clue about this. They don't understand circadian rhythm. They don't understand the timing of meals. They don't understand. You just like shoot out like a one or two, like here's the portion sizes. It just doesn't resonate. It doesn't connect. So everyone walks around thinking they're doing bad if they do opposite from that. So it's not reaching them.
Yeah, and I think just nowadays there's just so many, especially with social media and just the, you know, crazy consumption of the internet, it's so easy for somebody to, like, just do a quick Google search, whether it's about a certain diet or what's trending, and they don't have, obviously, all the information at hand to make the best choice for their bodies.
Correct. It's putting out a tip sheet is useless. It's almost like, here's what you need to do. So people look at it, they'll say, there's like 10 things you're supposed to do. They don't know how to embody it. They don't know how to do it. That doesn't even resonate. There's a finesse. There's an openness. This is a counseling method, and you can either reach somebody or you can't. Just giving them a list of here's what you're supposed to do, really. And besides that, some of this stuff is wrong. That's right. Why I'm the Mythbuster.
Oh, tell me more about that then. Who gave you that name?
I had a radio show in Teaneck for a bit, and it was part of a segment because I think nutrition is one of the number one areas where there's so many myths.
Oh, 100%.
We can talk about drug interactions that don't even make any sense anymore. How many people have I run into? I can't eat broccoli because I'm on Coumadin. I can't eat nuts or seeds because I have diverticular. Mm-hmm. None of this is valid, and people find they're like squishing their diet down to nothing, and they feel like whatever. So I came up with this little segment within the show, Mythbusters. And one of the first ones, believe it or not, was I shrunk my stomach. It's impossible. You can't shrink your stomach. It holds maybe 4 cups tops. You can definitely expand your stomach. And if you want to know how these people eat and win the Coney Island hot dog eating contest, there's actually a tutorial on how to make your stomach be able to absorb 35, how much?
I don't even know.
A tremendous
crazy
amount.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's craziness. But yeah, so you don't shrink your stomach. What you do, it changes like other dynamics in your body metabolically. But that's like, that was the first one we did on with the show, but so many.
What about right now in this current day? Do you think there is maybe like one or two really common myths that should be debunked right now?
The breakfast?
Okay, what about the breakfast? Like, it's the most
important,
meal
of the day.
So you think it's fine that we skip it? Or?
Why do we have to name the meals? That's my...
It should just be your first meal, correct?
It's a breakfast.
Right.
Why do we have to name the meals? Because that already insinuates what you're supposed to eat. Mm-hmm. People who, quote unquote, don't eat breakfast are like, I don't eat eggs. No. So I'm not hungry. You know, things like that. 4 hours. It's a breakfast. Eat whatever. And what that does is, believe it or not, open up a lot of other menu options. So you find yourself having whatever, fish, salad, who cares? You're breaking the fast. And it gives you a little bit more. If you start eating right away and you're not hungry, believe it or not, that's not too good. It's just extra calories for no reason.
Right.
So that's a big one.
No, actually, that's interesting because I think some people, they always say like, oh, do you want breakfast for dinner? And they associate like pancakes or eggs.
Right.
So technically, that's still food, and that can be dinner if that's what you choose.
And it's true. Other people sometimes say, it's 6 o'clock. It's time for dinner. Oh, yeah. What is this? And then another one. Are you hungry? Yeah, I could eat. What does that mean? Yeah, I could eat. Of course. Who cannot?
Right.
If you can eat, something's wrong with you. You must have some type of cachexia or anorexia. There's something wrong.
And then what is like another one? This is really interesting.
Probably the back to schedule. Just the way everything is so erratic. And the scheduling of recognizing when your body does need to eat physically and getting it more in sync with that. And it's based on a lot of different factors. So to just have somebody say to somebody, I've heard everything, you have to eat every 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even clinically appropriate. It is wrong. I don't know where these people come up with this. And these are like clinical people. That's actually what you want to avoid. It's 4 hours. 4 hours, 6 hours, 4 to 6. Two? All you're doing is like feeding into like a glucose type drive. So, and they do this. They talk to people who have diabetes, and they tell them to eat every 2 hours. How can you even get an accurate blood glucose reading if you're pumping food in you constantly? I mean, in other words, you're almost in an overfed state. Your insulin and your blood sugar values are going to be at a peak. So this is retarded. And the thing is you have to really start to really listen to yourself and look at your schedule. And a lot of what people don't understand or recognize is there's no more 9 to 5.
Right.
Is there? It's a 5 to 9, if anything. Right?
Yeah. So from what I'm hearing from you is that you're an advocate for more of like mindful eating and like listening to your body. No.
No. Okay. No, I believe in that concept, but mindful eating. That will go on for a bit. I don't believe that you should take something so beautiful, so tasty as food, and analyze it to the point where we have to be like, I'm focused now on this cranberry. It's a delicious cranberry. It's going to do me real good. Like that kind of stuff. No, listening to your body. Mindful eating is a little too
much.
And not only that, but do we have time for this, really?
I mean, no.
As a native New Yorker,
I'm always on the go. Yeah. I'm constantly have like snacks in my bags because I don't always have the time to like sit down and eat. And I don't know, maybe you might.
It's funny. It's like paranoia. I need to have a snack with me. I'm going to die otherwise. I don't know. I'd rather do something else. I'd rather go to Catalina or I'd rather take a yacht out. I want to have fun.
Right.
I don't really want to worry about if I have a power bar in my pocket or whatever it is. But really, I just denutralize it. Get back into what it is. It's a gift. The fact that we can sustain and we have so many multiple different foods, so many different cultures that have exposed us to tremendous amounts of stuff. And the globalness of all these cuisines is amazing. Really. We're very savvy. Very savvy with all this.
Yeah.
And it's not hard to put meals together. So meal kits and stuff, I understand. The belief is that it's going to satisfy the convenience thing. It does come at a cost. You still have to shop. You still got to get the dishes dirty. You still got to put them in the dishwasher. And it's very expensive.
Right.
But maybe it's good. Maybe it's good for a child.
Okay, so let's shift gears now. And I want to get more into like the serious component of the episode now that we got the background out of the way and all about New York. I usually ask my guests what keeps you up at night. And basically that just means anything and everything that comes to your mind about something that you're struggling with right now or that's stressing you out, anything that you're comfortable talking about.
What will keep me up at night is if I have too many coffees. Very easy. Yes. So there's a cutoff. 1 o'clock, no more coffee. But when I do get up, I have a burst of creativity. I've got to get it down. I'll lose it. It's like having a dream. And, oh, my God, it was such an amazing dream. And I forgot already. So I usually have a pad, and I'll just write it down. And that becomes the germ of an idea, and it becomes amazing. And that would be something that would disrupt my sleep. And that would be part and parcel responsible for what I have to, what I am responsible for in the day. You know, if I have people count on me to do this and that, I think about it. I go to sleep. I'm very tired. But bing, this idea comes at me, and I'll write it down. I don't want to lose it.
So tell me about your morning routine. What is that like?
Quiet time, reviewing of a level of like what I was going to do for the day, the week, the month. I am a long-range planner, but I'm very flexible. I developed something years ago, and my family knows me for this, and it's actually become like a kind of a joke. I have a playbook. It's just a notebook. Nothing electronic. It's pencil. Very importantly, pencil, because you can erase it. And I write down a wish list of where I want to go, what I want to do. I black out the times that I am not available, and the rest of them are my times. Yeah, the wish list is long, but it doesn't matter. It carries over to the next month. And it turned out to be really very nice. As friends and family, you were like, put that in the playbook. And I've done a lot of things that people were never privileged to do. I've also not been able to do a lot of simple things that people do all the time. Like, I only went to my first baseball game 3 years ago or so.
Oh, wow.
But yet I've been in the south of France running around topless. So who does that? Well, I did. So I do things that people, yeah. Wow, I never did that.
No, I love hearing that because I love traveling, and I actually travel a lot internationally. but I have done a very poor job in exploring United States, and I feel like I need to do that as well. Like, I've never been to California, and people are always look at me like I'm crazy. So in a sense, I can relate because, like, stuff that's nearby, I kind of don't have an interest in visiting.
I get it, too. And how many people in New York never went to the sites, the Statue of Liberty, et cetera, et cetera? Yeah, I get that. And you could, like, it's interesting to be a native and actually do the stuff that the tourists do. It's fun. It's nice.
No, it is. When I have friends visiting, it's like the perfect excuse to be a tourist in your own place because you have to, at least for me, I want to show them around. So I'm like, okay, let's do all the touristy stuff that I normally wouldn't do.
It's fun, and it's real. It's even just like, wow, expose yourself to the tourists. You know, they may be from Austria or Scandinavia. You can see them. I mean, they're like click, 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 click. And there you are on the Circle Line or something. It's a beautiful boat trip. What's the problem? You know, it's not for Dumkoffs. It's a nice thing to do. It's fun.
I think it also makes you appreciate the city much more.
It does. It does. You have to recognize, and this is a mecca.
For sure.
It's vibrant, and we're not appreciating it. It is really, they used to say New York, the capital of the world. There's a reason for it.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of stuff.
Can you tell me about one experience you've had in the city that was like crazy and wild, and but it could have only happened in New York?
I wasn't down here for 9/11. I was nearby, but not. I was not like close to it. Wow, that's a tough one.
I also just mean like any encounters with like strangers, because I feel like, you know, people that are in like the subway or like it's just like so many funny and weird stuff that I see sometimes. I just want to know if you ever had a one-on-one encounter or maybe like...
Oh, I have lots of them. I'm just trying to like give you one that me... Oh, maybe this. This is the top of my head. I was coming back from bringing my husband for infusion. He was in a clinical trial for brain cancer. And he was struggling, and I was like kind of like helping him walk down the block. And to get back to the express bus to take me out to Queens... I kept being struck by this woman. It was freezing. She was in like kind of like all bundled up. It stuck with me. And I saw her twice like that. And I said, the next time I'm going down there, I'm giving her a coat. And that's what I did. I dragged the coat down, and I just really, it was just her reception to that was
super
was,
grateful.
Yeah, it was nice. That's all she needed. And I understand this, but just sometimes that's all it is. And I think you got to be open to it. It's not going to be a hit all the time. Right. Sometimes you're going to run into not a nice person. Mm-hmm. You know, so you got to kind of like feel out the situation. But in this instance, it stuck with me. It resonated. So yeah, that was a New York experience.
Of course.
A little bit. Just a little bit.
How would you describe New York in one word?
Vibrant. Vibrant. Energy. So much energy. It's a mecca. It's a cultural center. And the gathering of people from all different cultures is amazing. Having traveled to Europe and other places, there'd be a couple of other ethnicities that come in, but not like here. Not like here. It's so diverse.
So you wouldn't want to live anywhere else in the world?
I have a hard time thinking of where else I would want to go. I mean, I could be a snowflake, as they call it, and go down to the warmer climate here and there. But now, it's beautiful. Plus the access. You can go anywhere.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous.
And I love that you can just walk everywhere as well, because I'm such a walker. I think in other places you need a car or you need...
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, and it's just, you know, the community. I mean, and 24/7, you know. So, I mean... It would be boring. I'd go nuts. I don't know. Like, if I get up, I want to do something.
Right. You can do whatever you want, basically.
There's things open. I mean.
So let's dive a little deeper into the confession part. This can obviously relate to what you mentioned about what keeps you up at night, or it can be something totally unrelated. but I want to preface this by saying that obviously it's right now is a chance for you to speak about whatever you're comfortable with, with sharing, because I personally am a very guarded person, but I've learned with doing this and just really analyzing what I've been through personally, like if I feel comfortable and the timing is right, I think sharing it obviously has its benefits. So would you like to take it away?
Is everyone ready? I never wash my face.
Really?
What? What? I never wash my face. And I know it shows.
No, it doesn't.
Sure it does.
No, it really does not. But I... Wait, is that like a joke?
No, it's true. Okay, I never wash my face.
Do you want to tell me about that? Because I...
I'm a lotion addict. I never take soap and wash my face.
So, but do... Okay, how about like plain water?
Well, obviously, if I'm going in the pool or the ocean or I'm taking a shower, I don't wash my face.
Okay.
And they don't stink either.
No, I don't think you only... do.
I'm a lotion addict. Okay. Lotion, lotion, lotion.
So you're all about moisturizing.
Yeah. I learned that from my aunt. No wrinkles, 98. once in a while, you got to get a facial. Oh, you got some clogged pores. I take it any day. What is it? One or two? Lotion, lotion, lotion. Works. It's cheap.
That's true. I mean, I don't know. Maybe somebody else can also relate. And maybe they're in the same boat as you.
I don't know. It's, there's really a, I'm kind of like an expert on lots of different creams. Mm-hmm. And if you get a really good one, this one I like is like a Scandinavian. It's thick. I put it all over my face. I do look a little funny. like a ghost. But at least it's not Gloria Swanson with the green, whatever the hell that is, and that hanging thing. So a lot of that. And then in the shower, the steam just kind of like, you know, it bakes right into your face. It's perfect. Comes out, you are fully moisturized.
I love that you found something that works for you, though.
I learned that sort of from my aunt. She used to use, I mean, this is, she's going back to like 1918 and stuff. But she used to use like a product back then. And she taught me that. And it works. It really works. And it, behind even when you put lotion on your hands and then you put the gloves on. But, yeah, it works. It really works.
No, I love hearing that because all of my previous guests have had more, I guess, like other confessions related to, you know, maybe like stress. But your confession is really interesting. And actually, that's the whole point, is that there is no judgment on a confession. It can be as serious, as silly, as, you know, whatever you make of it. So... That's super interesting.
No, it's good. It's just, you know, some stuff you confess about, but if you're faithful, you know, it's past. So it's no longer an issue anymore.
Right.
But, you know, we're not walking around sinless. We make mistakes. Mm-hmm. But that would be my pertinent confession. I don't wash my face. As embarrassing as that sounds. And I'm not stinky, right?
She's not stinky.
I'm not stinky.
What is one thing that you wish you knew back then that you know now?
Oh, the life experience or the feeling of like you know everything at any given age. Okay, now I know. You don't know anything. Because life will throw you curveballs. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you realize that you don't know. Oh, no. You don't know.
You can curse.
Oh, you don't know shit. You think you do, but you know.
Right.
So you can be pompous. You can be proud. Really. And I really, really in my 20s, okay, now I've really gotten it. Well, guess what? Then but happened, and then this and this. And I load them all up, and my little buddy here, Jeanette, she's like, holy. What have you gone through is insane. And it is going to continue to evolve. Mm-hmm. But it's taught humility and appreciation for, and like a humbleness. And that's pretty much it. So what I know now is guiding me going forward. And I believe we all do. You just need to be humbled with life. It's not going to be the way you think. People predecease others just because somebody's older than somebody else. They don't die first. Sometimes the young ones die. And sometimes they don't. And basically what I've been through over the last year and a half is I lost five of my immediate family. My husband, my cat, my mother-in-law, my aunt, and my first cousin. All within a year and a half. And, you know, the kicker is my husband because, you know, wow. It was like a heavy care I had to do for him. So it blew me away. You know, from a brain tumor. It's horrible. I learned a lot, and great learning experience at a minimum.
Well,
so anything
that
comes your way, it's going to be beautiful. You got to get through the sticky times. Life's not like a cakewalk, right?
Right. No, I agree. I also think that people, at least for kids or even just like whatever age you're currently at, we think like what you were just saying, people who are older have it all together or like has a good grasp on life. And that's never the case. And even with, like, parents, I always hear that some parents just, like, confess, like, I have no idea what I'm doing with my kids. You know, like, there's no rule book. And I think we are all just, like, figuring it out as we go. And that's another great insight because, especially with New York, everybody's so busy and so in tune with what they're doing and always on the go that it's, like, actually everybody is on the same boat. Like, we're all figuring things out.
Yes. Yes, I totally agree. And I think at any given age, it's just keeping the open mind and connecting with another person to keep the open mind so that you can learn and grow from the connection with others. And what's really conspicuously missing, at least in the American culture, is not a great acknowledgement of people in advanced age, that I have to say. I created a course for doctoral students, Nutrition for the Older Adult. And other cultures, it's different. But the wisdom, this is life experiences. You can't just discount, oh, we don't want to do this anymore. We don't have this. It don't matter. And it's actually foundation to old wives' tales. Mm-hmm. How many of those are, like, accurate?
Yeah. No, it's
true. They really are. Maybe we should bring back the mustard plaster.
What's that?
Oh, that was a salve that used to be created, and they'd wrap your chest in and stuff. But I bet there's some botanical stuff. It probably works.
Right.
That may be a good another story. Mustard plaster.
So I want to ask you also, what is one thing that you love most about yourself?
That's a very loaded question. Because anyone who knows me, I have a low opinion of myself.
Well, that's the whole point of this question, is that I like to ask people so they can do a self-analysis of who they are, bring out the best in them, and actually talk about them in a positive light. We don't do that enough, and I think that's an issue. I mean, I have a hard time doing that as well. When people tell me compliments, I get, like, really awkward.
I'm the queen of self-deprecation.
Well, we need to change that.
Yeah, good luck. But then I'll lose my shtick.
I'm sure you can think of one thing that you're like, you know what?
I cook amazing food. How's that?
Okay, that's great.
I can grow stuff. And I can talk to the animals.
That's a great combination, actually, if you think about it. So wait, tell me about, like, do you celebrate Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I celebrate everything.
So do you, like, cook these, like, crazy extravagant meals?
I did, but when you lose all of your family, who the hell wants to sit around and cook anything, you know? But, you know, this last year was interesting because new people come along in my life and I'm, you know, strong. So I reached out to all kinds. I met a whole bunch of new people. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this last bunch of holidays, everything came online. So it was kind of acknowledging my efforts because I'm not a quitter. I just push, always. I won't. You can't squish me.
That's
ever.
Probably, yeah. A great compliment,
you got something on me. Maybe you should come into counseling practice with me.
I would love to, actually. I think I need it, to be honest.
Counsel yourself or others?
No, myself. Oh. I think everybody needs it.
You're a beautiful
lady. Use it.
Ay, ay, ay.
But it's all, like, mental, you know?
Yeah, we're all mental. Yeah. I'm mental. Who's not mental?
No, it's true.
That's why they legalized reefer. We're mental. Go for it.
Have you ever decided to, like, write a cookbook, or do you have one?
I have a bunch of books,
okay,
topics out there. I don't know. I'm like...
So I feel like you're just full
very,
of recipes.
Yeah, it's like I'm an idea factory. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to almost, like, settle me down to do stuff. And I do things on multiple levels, like, all at once. So it's like and based on the last couple of years of circumstances, the time-wise, it's just not been. But, you know, my buddy here, Jeanette, has like got me to at least do things that exercise my creativity. I'm also a contractor. I'm also an interior designer. I'm also, what else do? I don't even know. I really, 20,000 hats. If you ask me my professions in the past, that's why I'm 250 years old.
No, it's great to be skilled in different professions. And I think that's what makes us New Yorkers. I don't think any of us just have one job. Like, we always have, like, a side hustle or, like, 10 million other jobs because that's just our personalities.
It is. It's great. It's great. It's great to be able to, embody and grab what the city has to offer. And it's not just Manhattan. It's the other boroughs, too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just New York City. And they all have a distinct flavor. And it's beautiful. I mean, you can go to the Bronx. It's almost upstate. And yet it's, like, ethnic. You have the the Belmont section, and you have, like, other areas. It's different. And I can't shut my mind to any of it, especially when people are involved. It's not my style.
And speaking of everything that New York has to offer, what is one thing you can thank the city for?
Concentrated place where business, financial, people meet. I mean, it's almost unbelievable. It's not a very big geographical area, you know? Mm-hmm. And just to even look at it and to see all the structures, it's like, how did they do this? It doesn't even make any sense. It's a very tiny island, right? Mm-hmm. There's the joke of it. What is it, $24 that somebody paid for it? Right? So, yeah, and because of that, and it attracts, it's probably from the early days with the financial power that it had. I think it was a capital at one time, I believe, right? New York City was, Manhattan was, before they moved it. So with that, and it has a cultural, trendy, state-of-the-art feel to it. And you will see something similar like that if you go to the big cities, let's say in Europe. They have certain things. And there's a lot of historic things here. It's not as much as, let's say, Paris, where there's like stuff that's like thousands of years old, but it doesn't matter. With that, it's the people who make the city. If we take the people out, all you're going to have is a bunch of tall buildings, right?
No, I agree 100%.
It's once in a while you'll see the, it'll be windy and uncomfortable and cold. It's very cold here. The wind is horrible.
I don't think this winter has been that bad, actually.
Oh, no, it's El Nino.
Yeah.
I used to do the weather on a station out on Long Island.
You literally have done everything.
Like, I have not been an astronaut.
That needs to be your next goal.
No. I don't like being closed up. Oh, thank you.
So as we're wrapping this up, I wanted to take a moment to just acknowledge you. And thank you so much for being here. You are definitely one of a kind. Your personality, your energy, it's just like radiant. And I love it. I feed off of this, as I mentioned to you previously. And I really appreciate you coming on and just being you and just talking about your experiences and just everything that you've, been through. And I thank you for sharing that. And again, just appreciate you taking your time out of your day to talk to us.
You're very kind. And I value what you said.
Thank you. And before we close it out, do you want to tell the audience what you're currently up to? Where can they
find
you?
What am I not up to? I'm renovating an enormous house, trying to clean out another house, managing family members' financial affairs, trying to play once in a while, doing some... media appearances. Well, actually, a fair amount, actually. But this one's in charge of that. I just have to jump. I need this right away.
Just keeping yourself busy, right?
Always.
That's always. But also, like, enjoying yourself.
Trying to. That's always for anybody.
Totally,
When you have either career focus or this and that, to actually still get enjoyment out of stuff. And I have so many hobbies, painting, this, that, renovating, a tremendous amount of stuff. And so, yeah, working that in, it's a challenge. But yeah. If you don't, you're not 100% happy.
Mm-hmm. And I love I love the fact that you mentioned play. Because I think as we grow older, we definitely put that in a backseat and we kind of forget to do that. And that's actually one thing that makes us feel, like you said, happy and also alive.
Yeah, you need playtime. That's why I came up with the playbook. I mean, it was a structured way of making sure, at least maybe out of the long list, maybe one or two things were done. Who cares? Then you carry it over to the next month. But they were done.
And it's kind of similar to a bucket list, but I guess it's more...
The bucket list to me is like, I'm going to croak
unrealistic,
soon.
Unrealistic, right.
So I want a horse. That's my new thing. I actually want an alpaca, too. I want an alpaca. I want a horse. What else do I want? Jeanette knows. I want this.
No, it's a great idea. I think for those listening, if you want to, they should create a playbook themselves and they'd be able to check it off their list.
And it's easy to do. And I created it because I had very limited time, like free time available when I was an inpatient. I was director at a facility and I worked for the contractor at the facility and I was not afforded the same days off as the persons that were hired in-house. So I had only 10 days vacation, 3 days personal, and some holidays. But because I was always like churning and moving, for me to be off one day, for me to get back the next day, it was like I had like three weeks worth of work to pick up where mm-hmm. it was left off. Because everybody was like, oh, you do it. Nicolette does it. Great. But I was very, very, I started to see this like, diligent about I need to really apportion these days properly. So I started just simply taking a notebook, writing down, and I dispersed the days evenly. And, I just in one moment, I started to write on the left side of the notebook, hey, what I'd like to do. It was seasonal stuff, whatever. And I saw that I needed to do that because I never took off. When I was off, the place fell apart. And I had more work to do than the one day. So I worked all the holidays. My father had just passed away. It was just ridiculous. So, one thing led to the next. And I kept it up. And it works. It's been really diligent. It's sometimes you just, at least for me, makes me focus on, what's important. Because you kind of get lost. You get interrupted. You get distracted. You're getting texts. You're getting, what I mean? You don't even pay attention. So it kind of brings you back and reminds you of, oh, you did want to do this, didn't you? Because it was your idea. So it's kind of like, yes, right?
Yeah, that's
if you don't write it down, it's never going to happen.
Exactly. I write everything down.
Good.
That's a great note to wrap this up. And thank you so much, Nicolette, again for being
thank
on.
Thank you.
I'll leave Nicolette's information in the description, and you can find her in all the links below. And stay tuned for the next episode. Okay, bye.
Ciao.